DJ side three. We can call this thing side one. How did Ralph Martin's compare to the other bars? Were there other bars going at the same time, like Dugan's and the Martin's?
Well, they were all going, but after he died, then the other ones took over. But he was really the main one.
At that time. This is in the mid-40s.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And what was the next bar you remember hanging around at?
Oh, well, as I told you, like the Midtown.
Uh-huh.
Mardi Gras, Chesterfield, Sunnyside, Dugan.
Sunnyside, that's one I never heard of.
Well, that was just across the street from the Mardi Gras. Where the bus terminal it is now?
Uh-huh.
Where the Greyhound's gonna
be.
Uh-huh. Used to sit in that site.
Interesting.
Midtown, we used to be down across from the post office, right across the street from the fire house.
Mm-hmm.
And the Mardi Gras is Jimmy's restaurant right now, where the ramp is.
Right,
that's
right
Mardi Gras.
Mm-hmm.
Chesterfield, that's out. Bingo's is out. That's all torn down. Then there used to be the 132 Club. Mm-hmm. That was over in Genesee.
Do you remember Leonard's?
Leonard's.
That was going around the same time. Leonard's the kitty cat. You don't remember those?
No, so you see, for about 15 years, I wasn't really
going out,
hanging around the gay bars too much.
You were talking about, or you asked me if I wanted to know, and now I do, about when you walked into Ralph Martin's, how could you tell who was butch and who was femme?
Well, see, there was quite a distinction. Now you don't know who's who anymore.
Oh.
Very serious. This is why I say, unless you talk to someone, and you can tell by tone of voice, expressions, the way they carry themselves. Because then it used to be strictly the appearance of the person.
I see.
Where you can be butch without really going into men's clothes.
Could you then?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, it's the way you handled yourself. You had to be the aggressor. In other words, you had to knock about 16 people around to let them know that you were, you know.
You actually had to fight?
Well, I mean, there were some that, you know, you'd have to get into. I mean, there's.
Because they challenge you.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
This was the thing.
I see. Were there particular rules about being a butch or a femme? Things that, like if you were a butch that you wouldn't do because that was femme stuff, or a femme that you wouldn't do because that was butch stuff?
Well, you mean as far as intimacy or as far as general
anything,
life?
Anything.
Well, to me, a femme, how they judge it now, I don't know, because I really don't go around that much. Then had to be a woman. Had to be a lady. I mean, in my own looking. She had to conduct herself as such. In other words, you would have to be boss to a degree, but not domineering.
You mean
limits.
A butch had to be the boss?
To a degree, but not one that would be, well, you sit here, you sit there, you look at this one or look at that one. You just had to have a little more bossiness about you. That's a plain way of putting it. It was being domineering, but to a certain angle. You couldn't...
If a femme tried to be, I know it's real hard to get those definitions out. If a femme tried to be more bossy than her butch, did that make her not a femme?
No. It's all according. A woman, to me, in a house like this, she would be the boss, see? Because that's her place to be the boss in the house. As far as the house, the cooking, doing so forth and so on. Now, out in public, taking care of the woman, that was the butcher's business of bringing in the food, the money, or whatever, or work around the house, is repairing the woodwork or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
This was the far as that was concerned, the man's work of the house.
Uh-huh. So it was the butcher's work. So the jobs were sort of comparable to like a heterosexual couple. Right. Well, what if the femme had to work?
I was with a girl, and in fact, a couple of them that worked. As long as she came back in the house and lived her life the way it was supposed to be lived in the house, and there was no...
Didn't conflict
about working outside. As long as I knew myself that there was no hangy-bangy on the side, well, then you had to have to handle it.
Uh-huh. You mean no hangy-panky on the side, but through her
In other words,
a job?
If she was working and she was messing around or playing around or someone was, I'm talking about, you couldn't do this as far as a man, and she had like an office job,
yeah,
you know, secretary or whatever. Now, you couldn't just walk in there and knock her boss on the ass for making this you couldn't do. But I'm talking about, say if she went to lunch or after work stopped into one of the gay bars, and if another butch was trying to make a claim, this is when you'd have to step in and stop it. But I would only do this if I knew. Now, if I knew that she wanted this one here, you know, have your fun. That would be it.
Would you break up with her then?
If I knew that there was no feeling as far as she was concerned, yeah, that would be it.
No, I mean if she, well, what if she just wanted to have a temporary fling? Would you allow that?
I don't believe in temporary flings.
Oh, so you wouldn't allow it. If she wanted to go sleep with somebody else, you were done with her.
If I knew her.
I see. Okay. Yeah, I guess that makes a difference. What about if the butch was fooling around?
Well, as I say, I can't say about no other one because I'm talking strictly of myself. Now, I've gone with two girls, and they've been 7 years in the running, each one. Why 7 years? I'll never know without peace. I figured, hey, I got it at home. What should I go out and look for? I've never played. I mean, I would talk, conversation-wise and everything, but never take anyone no place, mm-hmm. to their house or whatever. I would give a ride home maybe, you know, just, you know, drop them off or whatever. But intimacy, no.
Mm-hmm.
I never did. And I still don't to this day.
So you believe in monogamous relationships and...
In other words, if you're with somebody, be with them. Mm-hmm. If you want to be with six other people, don't be with me.
Do you think that most of the women you knew were like that, or did most?
No, I can't say this, but I mean, you brought up this of what I would think of it.
Yeah.
As I say now, the one girl I lived with 7 years. Now I didn't know this was going on, but I made a mistake one day of going in on a day I had off, and I forgot about it, and I came back to the house. Unknowing to her, and there was a man in the house, so that ended that conversation right there.
Uh-huh.
So I said, you go or I go, and this was going on because a few people told me that he'd been hanging around, going in and out, and so forth and so on. So I asked her, and she said, she knew him before, and I said, well, that's nice. I said, well, keep right on knowing him.
So she left?
She left. She got married to some other guy, had a kid, and that was it. I've seen her a few times there. I've said hello, but that's as far as it ever went.
Uh-huh. Did the other women that you hung around with at the time, did they also have, like, monogamous relationships, or do you know that there were women who cheated on each other a lot?
Well, I knew a lot were cheating, yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll have to say this. And the only time I didn't mess around is when I wasn't with someone.
Yeah.
And the only time I would really pick on someone for anything on that order would be if I knew there was a breakup or they weren't going together or whatever. And then, I figured, what the hell, I ain't gonna get my head taken off. I figured, oh, make it pass, you make it pass. Mm-hmm. If it works, it works. It don't, it don't.
But do you think generally in the with the people that you knew that they were loyal to each other or not?
I would say, from my own opinion, of my own knowing, my own experience, I'd say maybe 20%. And that's a long haul, 53 years. 20% that... I would say stuck together without messing around. Because when the butches went out, you know, any girl at the bar, this I can truthfully say.
Uh-huh. I wonder why.
No, answer me this now. Why the guys do it? They're married. Uh-huh. They got children. They got beautiful wives. They got everything going. But you find them down on Chippewa Street with the black. I mean, I have nothing against black, because I love them. I love everybody. Mm-hmm. But it's on the same principle. Mm-hmm. Why are they doing it? Mm-hmm. It'd be the same way as the butch. Now, she's got a home just like this, right? Now, you have your night out with the boys, as they would say.
Yeah.
So you're out trying to pick every girl up in the bar. Just for, you know, a fling, or whatever, how they express it, which I won't go into that. But, this is the way it is.
So you knew that about 80% of the butches were probably doing some running around. Mm-hmm. What about the femmes?
That's why there used to be a lot of fights.
Oh.
See, the butches would walk in, and then you see another butch talking or having their arm around the shoulder or whatever. Well, they just take the arm down, and there you had it.
I see.
Then the girls would be dragged out.
Was that mostly what people fought over?
Mainly, and there was always, catty, mostly catty stuff. Mm-hmm. And that was mainly really the reason for the fighting. Because you didn't want your girl messing around, and your girl didn't want you messing around. So she would get in fights too with girls. If my girl come in and see me with my arm around you, now, she might be hollering at me, but there's always two to tango, see? So she either take a punch at you or a punch at me, one of the two.
Uh-huh.
See? That's the way it used to work.
This is really interesting, because you just made an interesting observation. You just said if your girl, who I assume would be a femme, because mm-hmm. you think of yourself as a butch, right. would come in and find you with your arm around me. Mm-hmm. So you're assuming mm-hmm. I'm a femme. Do you think that those differences haven't changed in all the years that you've been gay?
Oh, they have, because there's a lot of times, I'm just putting down as a figure of speech, because I really don't know whether you are or you ain't,
uh-huh.
so I really can't say.
It's funny, because you made sort of a natural assumption that was probably true, and I'm wondering if you knew in the old days who was a butch in the family.
Oh, you did, by appearance, mainly.
Sure.
By appearance. Now, just like down to Ralph's. I've sat there many a nights, and I just looked everyone that comes in the door, because all their appearances are all the same. There's very few that you can really say, uh-huh. well, that's a butch, there's a femme. You can't do it no more, because they're all dressed in the same order.
Uh-huh.
The dungarees, the t-shirts,
yeah.
long hair, most of them generally have long hair. They don't have the severe cuts anymore.
Yeah.
Unless you really, it's the way they pick up a drink, or if you're really watching that hard,
yeah.
or the way they hold a cigarette or something like this, uh-huh. then you can distinguish.
Yeah.
But as far as appearance, clothes-wise, no way can you tell anymore. It's hard.
Do you think underneath all that, there still are butches and femmes in relationships?
There could be, but... hard to say, because I really couldn't tell you that one.
Mm-hmm.
I really couldn't. because, as I say, I haven't been around in a good long time. Now, a couple people I know, as I mentioned before, very close to me. Now, one is prominent as far as butch, the other, she's very femme. Mm-hmm. And this, you know, is from the old days, and she's still being carried on there.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm talking about the young ones now, the 18, the college kids that are coming in. It would be hard,
yeah.
Unless you really got to talk to them, as I say, through conversation, the way they stood, drank, held their cigarette or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be very hard to
mm-hmm.
distinguish who is and who ain't.
In the old days, the 40s and 50s, now, you talked about what jobs butches and femmes had, like around the house, to do.
Mm-hmm.
What about intimately? Were there certain things that, I don't know, were there certain things a femme could or couldn't do? Were there certain standards a butch had to achieve?
No, it's, I don't know, to me, as I say, I can only apply to myself, to a certain degree. There can always be a change of love, the caressing, but only to a certain degree. Not the same as a butch. There'd be a limit.
I see. So it wasn't absolutely reciprocal. A femme could do back a certain amount of stuff, but not as much as a butch could do.
I mean, in my own whatever anybody
right,
else.
Right. Sure. Sure.
No, because I'd as I say, my morals are high,
uh-huh.
And what a butch does and what a femme does,
those are different things.
Those are different things.
Uh huh. Did you know other women in relationships who set the same kind of standards that yours did?
Oh, yeah.
And they would agree that a femme could only go so far and no farther.
Yeah, if they had any respect for the woman they were with. I mean, this is the way I look at it. I mean, I just... I would treat... I mean, I treat a woman as a woman. I mean, not as... I mean, there have to be love on both sides, but I mean, down to the basic fact, it still have to be my side be doing most of the doing.
right. So in other words, a femme usually didn't make love back to her butch in the same way.
Not right down to the last nitty gritty, we'll call few things, you know, but
yeah, I know there's really
yeah,
it's hard to talk about those
yeah.
things, and also in different relationships, that line where you say stop is a little to the left or a little to the right, depending on where you
yeah.
were.
See, a true femme at that time really didn't do things sometimes the butches do,
uh huh.
So it's how they do it now. I you have no knowledge of that at all.
Yeah. Even though, let's say, your femme didn't make love to you in the same way you made love to her, you still felt satisfied in what you were doing?
Oh, yeah. If I could give her satisfaction to the highest,
uh-huh.
that gave me satisfaction.
That's where yours comes from. Mm-hmm.
And her putting her arm around me and... The necking back and all this, you know, to a certain degree, it was beautiful.
So she could be responsive.
Oh, yes.
But not aggressive.
Not right down to the...
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. I see. It's very... It seems like it's a little hard for people to talk about what really happens in a sexual relationship, and I guess it's because I guess nobody talks about sex enough to get all those words together. Do you remember ever having discussed the nitty-gritty of sex with your friends at any time?
No, because for one, and in fact, this is the first I've ever really talked like this even about it. Because I've always figured what I did with a woman, and this is why I always respected the femme, what I did with her, or whatever was with me, I kept it that way. I wouldn't go out and broadcast, oh, geez, I had an Ellie Belly last night, we did this, oh, she's gonna, that would be showing no respect for the woman you were with. And I never talked about what I did when I was with someone. I always figured that was personal, and that was a thing or something between us that no one could talk about, knock her or anything else yeah. about it.
Did you ever either have sex problems that you talked over with anybody, or have somebody come to you with sex problems that they couldn't figure out themselves? Good for you.
Yeah, not really.
Did anybody ever come to you?
You mean as far as asking if how to satisfy somebody or on that order?
Yeah, no. Either that or I'm having trouble with so-and-so and I don't know what to do and we're not getting along. Or, you know.
Well, that as far as the sex, I mean, that was never, that always... was as far as the home life was concerned. I mean, it would never came up well, I couldn't satisfy her last night or something, and she got mad at me. I mean,
People don't talk about that kind of thing. I see. Let's go back and talk about the kinds of friends that you've had over a period of time. You said that you didn't really hang out. Did you say you didn't hang out with a regular crowd at Ralph Martin's, or you did?
At that time.
When you went to the next bar, whatever the next bar took over when Ralph Martin's closed, were you with the same group of people?
Oh, yeah, because we all paled around. It was always, Randy and all them. I mean, they're still floating around, and Black Jan, and, a lot of them, but now I see, I just say hello. I mean, we don't carry on no big conversations because there's been too many years elapsed, you know, that we could really sit down and carry a conversation of what happened last night or something.
Mm-hmm.
But when Ralph opened up, I seen kids from way back. They came in for the one night, and they themselves say that they don't come out much. They stay home. They got their homes now and all this stuff, and they don't... I just wanted to come down and, you know, see the new bar and that.
Yeah.
And I seen him a couple times afterwards, but the older group doesn't come around much.
When you talk about the older group, see, one of the things that we're trying to get at is what kinds of people hung out together. And, for example, we know a little bit about certain cliques or sets that hung out together in the 50s, and they've been characterized for us as there was a group of phys ed teachers that used to hang out together, and there was a group of...
Oh, you're talking about as far as they're working, and then bringing their work into the bar, groups like that?
Well,
in other words,
really.
At the hospital, I knew 500,000, even doctors and that, but that's when they left, they went home. I mean,
you never saw them outside of work. They never showed up at the bars.
There was only a couple, and they were interns, and I seen them down to the Villa Capri.
Yeah. Well, what
was
it?
And they spoke to me, and the next day they come in to work, and they still spoke to me. So I just, you know, it was just a mutual thing that I felt myself, hey, speak to me, I'll speak to you. We got where the hell you are.
What was it that brought you together with the women in your own crowd, in your own clique?
Well, I truthfully, I myself don't think I'm in any clique. I carry on a conversation with anyone. I mean, I don't like some cliques think they're better than somebody else, and myself, I don't think I'm anybody, and I don't think anybody's any better than myself.
What about in the 50s? Did you have a clique then?
No, not really. Not myself.
Oh.
I talked to everybody and anybody.
So you've always felt all along that you were independent.
That's right.
And you knew better the women who were about your own age group.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't really say it was a clique.
No, because I myself, when I wasn't with someone, we'll put it this way, when I wasn't with somebody, I was more or less a loner. I could walk in the place and sit there and get bombed out of my mind and just listen to everybody, and they want to talk, I'll talk, you know, and go down the line and, you know, no problems. I was congenial with everyone.
Uh-huh.
But as long as they didn't step on my left foot, then they were all right.
Uh-huh.
But I still do that now. I'll go down there now. I know Pat. I mean, she's a good long friend. And a lot of times I'll just walk around and say hi here and hi there, and I just, you know. But there's cliques down there, too. You better believe it. So I just talk to who comes in the door. If I know them, I say, hi, how are you?
Uh-huh.
And that's it. But,
are the bars today different from the bars when you came out in Buffalo?
Well, see, there's a gap, a good 15-year gap, to put it that way, that I really didn't go into the bars. Let's see, the last bar that, well, before everything was torn down, the Mardi Gras and all them. Now, Ralph had his place 18 years. So I started coming back into Ralph's, and I first got to really start getting a really buddy-buddy with my friend in 75. That's when I got retired.
Now, by Ralph's, you're not talking about Ralph Martin's. You're talking
about the
Wonder Bar. Okay.
The Wonder Bar. And he had it for 18 years, and I came in a few times when he used to have the Western bands in the back. And from that time up until 75, I didn't come around that much. I was at work, and I really didn't come out that much.
Were you in a long relationship then?
Well, as I say, there was two that were 7 years running, and I just figured, I got it at home, what do I need out?
Uh-huh. What did you do for a social life when you were in those long relationships and you weren't going to bars?
Well, well, the last girl I was with, we did a lot of traveling. Now, working at the hospital, for the 20 years I worked there, after the first 10, entitled to a month's vacation, which I myself never took at one time because I could never afford it at that time. And we would take different trips, Cape Cod, New York City, World's Fair, Expo, just traveled.
Mm-hmm.
Stopped in different places, probably set up in Cape Cod, that's strictly gay. They have their, sightseers and all this, but there are, which I have pictures of.
Provincetown, you mean?
Yeah, Provincetown,
uh-huh.
Cape Cod.
Yeah.
And rented cabins and all that down the lake, because the last one, she had three little ones, and the youngest one wasn't even in school at that time.
So what year are we talking about? What year
we're talking about, from 60... 65 up till 74.
Uh-huh. That's the last long relationship.
That's the long
relationship.